So, like I said, there's not really a lot of pastors or even theologians writing about dreams. But we do know from a sampling of various sources and scientific approaches. If we take, for example, back in biblical times, the ancient Egyptians, even in the time of Pharaoh, believed that dreams were, as this picture shows, that dreams were out-of-body experiences, and which is amazing, that they believed that you left the body and that you were in communion with the divine. Of course, the Egyptian meaning of divine could be one of several gods. But there is the element and the realization that dreams are something other than a waking state. Now, as we go forward in time, we look at somebody like Sigmund Freud. As our conscious minds slumber, our unconscious minds produce images that give us special insight into our deepest selves. When I look at this statement by Sigmund Freud, who is called the father of modern psychology, there's some things that are good and some things that are absent. The images, that's good because that is what takes place in a dream. But what is absent is a reference to the divine, who was the one who created. And there's also a narcissistic view of dreams. And it really is the insight into our deeper selves, who we are. That's a narcissistic part. And as we further go from Freud and we continue down the stretch, in the early 1900s and in 1920, there was a shift in understanding dreams. Two particular scientists said it's possible that there could be a cycle, but they're not really sure. But then in 1953, well, let me get it to neuroscience first. Neuroscience is pretty close. I like how neuroscience develops this. First of all, they say that there is a high neurological activity that takes place when we sleep. You have all this information passing back and forth, and that's scientifically proven through sleep models and sleep testing. They say that it's a process of defragmentation or house cleaning. This is where I kind of come off of it, but then I come back on in a minute. They say that since the brain is a computer, it has to defrag itself and it has to move all of these different items into different categories so that the mind does not become cluttered. They go on to say that it's guided by our emotional state, that dreams are guided by our emotional state. That could possibly be true. You ever go to bed at night and you're worried about something, and all of a sudden in your dream there's something that you have to worry about? I could see how that would be possible. So they say it's guided by our dreams, but like what they say is therefore the dreaming process is not random. I would agree with that based on biblical text, but helps the brain get rid of emotional baggage. I don't like that part because I think right here God is in the process of doing something. Now, let me go back. I went ahead of it, and I shouldn't. I've gone through this sermon so many times. But anyway, one scientist in 1953, Dr. Eugene Azarek, he was the first one that found out or came up with a cycle when we dream. In 1902, or in the early 1900s, in 1920, the other two scientists said it's possible that we have a cycle, but we can't find it. We don't know what it is. He is the first one that is given credit to this. And I think the Bible confirms the last part of his finding. in the sleep-wake cycle. When you first go to sleep, you have an interim period between consciousness and sleep. About 5 to 15 minutes later, we go into what is called stage two. The heart rate slows down, the brain does less activity, does less complicated task. The third stage, or the delta stage, where you have these delta neurons firing, is another 15 minutes. It moves into non-REM sleep. And at this point, the body begins to make repair. And you can understand why sleep is so important. Because during this portion of sleep, the body begins to repair itself. And brothers and sisters, that is built in by God. We can't just say that our bodies are random chance. It's created by God, and so God has developed this. Now we go to stage four. Body temperature and blood pressure decreases. So you could say that as the body repairs itself, you start slowing down. Your temperature drops. And I do see the activity of God here. And then you get into a last phase, REM. Probably everybody knows what that means, right? Rapid eye movement. And this is where it becomes fascinating. Because 90 minutes after you start the cycle, 90 minutes into it, you have increased eye movement, heart rate, breathing, and blood pressure, temperature all increase. So your eyes are going like this, your blood pressure and everything else comes up. That's one cycle. You have several of these cycles a night. The REM sleep, the first one, occurs for about 10 minutes. As the night goes on, and as you continue, the REM sleep portion gets longer and longer and longer. And what happens is, most of your vivid dreams occur in this last cycle of the night. Have you ever woken up and you remember a dream? That's why. Because in this last phase, you're breathing, your heart rate goes up, and it's in those moments that you have your most vivid dreams. Somebody says, well, I don't dream. Everybody dreams. You may not remember the dream, but you do dream. And so this is the cycle that he came up with. And this is rather fascinating. That in that last element of the evening, before you wake for the final time, you have some scientists would say, over an hour worth of dream activity taking place. So, in that fifth, this is something else I need to bring in. In that last cycle, scientists have said this. Brain waves mimic activity during a waking state. So, in this final REM sleep, that rapid eye movement stage, your brain takes a waking moment even though you are in an altered state. You are able to seem like the dream is real. And I find that very fascinating. And so now, let's go to the context. Everybody should know the book of Job. Job lost everything. God said, you can take everything away from Job. I'll remove the hedge of protection. And God allows Satan to take everything away from Job. He has three friends. And his three friends try to tell him, well, there's something wrong in your life. And they offer three different ways in which Job has sinned against God. Now, in this context, starting in chapter 32, Elihu, We don't hear too much about Elihu in the Bible. But Elihu is a young man who condemns Job's three friends. So everything from chapter 32 to chapter 37 is Elihu's response. He first of all condemns the three friends, but he also condemns Job, which I find fascinating. So when you look at Elihu, he is writing in a dream, in a vision of the night when deep sleep falls on men while they slumber in their beds. Elihu is trying to make the argument to Job that God can speak in different ways. In fact, if you go back and look at verse 14, before our verse, he says this, "For God speaks in one way and in two, though man does not perceive it." He says God speaks through dreams, but also God speaks through suffering, which Job was certainly suffering. Now, scholars view Elihu's discourse differently. Some view it as negative, and some view it as positive. I come to the conclusion that Elihu's statements were valid. How do I base that? What do I base that on? The defense is in verse 33, 1 through 4, but he is the only one not condemned by God. God condemns Job's three friends, but does not condemn Elihu. In fact, if you listen to Elihu, you would think he's a young man on fire for God. Listen to this. In 33:1, "But now hear my speech, O Job, and listen to all my words. Behold, I open my mouth, my tongue, the tongue in my mouth speaks. My words declare the uprightness of my heart. And what my lips know, they speak sincerely." Look at verse 4. "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." That sounds like somebody that loves God, that loves Yahweh. So, I see Elihu's statements as valid. And so we look at our text now today. Now, let me say this, that God does not speak in every dream, but we cannot exclude the fact that God does speak in dreams. Number one, God may speak in dreams, and we look at the meaning in verse 15. In a dream, in a vision of the night, the word dream there is halum. And this is what it means in the biblical meaning of that word. A series of thoughts, images, or feelings that occur during sleep as a natural altered state of awareness. So in other words, you're aware, but it's an altered state. And in this altered state, you can have a series of thoughts, feelings, emotions, if you, for lack of a better term, a movie plays. There's all of these things that can happen in this dream. Then he goes on to say, in the vision, phasayung, is the word for vision, the visions in the night or visions of the night. That word, listen to this, that word literally, a communication from God. Not only is a dream an altered state, but this vision of the night, which Elihu defines what a dream is, it is a vision of the night. It is a communication from God, often at night to an individual with a, and I'm taking you exactly what the Hebrew word means, often at night in an individual with the focus on the visualization or the visual aspect of the communication. The Bible itself identifies this vision connected with the dream as communication from God. And then I started thinking, sometimes does God communicate to us in a dream when we will not listen during the day? Interesting thought. I don't know how much you dream or how often you dream, but I dream a lot. And like I said in the opening, I see a lot of this, at least in my own dreams, I understand them to be spiritual. Now, he goes on to say here, when deep sleep falls on men, and the word deep sleep there, tardama, the deep sleep. Well, what is deep sleep? Well, if we go back to our model, deep sleep is REM sleep, the deep sleep, and it goes longer. So you think about that first cycle, it's a shorter REM, second cycle, longer REM, third cycle, and however many cycles you have during the night, by the time you get to that last one, you are in what is called deep sleep. And that is where you will remember a lot of your dreams. And maybe when you wake up, I know there's been dreams I've woke up and I'm running and I'm kicking the sheets. It was real because scientists have said that the brain mimics daylight activity even though you are asleep. The dream seems real. So here you have this word. Now listen to this. Deep sleep. Tardama. Tardama. A supernatural induced state by which God is active. Deep sleep. A supernatural induced state by which God is active. Do you know this word shows up in Genesis? So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon man, and while he slept, he took one of his ribs and closed up the place with flesh. When Adam was sleeping in the deep sleep, God was active. So when you think about this word deep sleep, it is a supernatural state in which God is active. Who is the author of our dreams when it is God speaking? God. Simple. Need more convincing? The word falls. It's nafal in Hebrew. This is awesome. It's fascinating when you drill down into these words. Nafal, being out of control in relation to a situation. You are not in control of a dream. Have you ever had a dream where you're needing to run, but you can't run? You are not in control of the dream. Have you ever had a dream where there's something happening around you and you're just frozen? Well, according to this, that is when God is trying to speak. That's pretty amazing. That is pretty amazing. When deep sleep falls upon man. And by the way, let me give you a conservative Southern Baptist pastor's view on this. Undistracted by the phenomenal world around us, one is more receptive. He is all over this, is Alden. Supernatural in the sleepy depths of the night. He acknowledges it, knows it to be true because of his study in the Hebrew words. It is a supernatural moment. When God is speaking to us, it is a supernatural moment. But that really shouldn't surprise us. Isn't it always when God speaks to us, it is a supernatural moment? Why would it be any different than when we are sleeping? Why would God suddenly just give us a random dream? No, these dreams are supernatural moments. And this is conservative Southern Baptist commentary as well, is acknowledging the fact that these dreams are this deep sleep in which scientists, secular scientists, and would have to probably agree with this based on the scientific and what I know about the Bible, that REM sleep, that last cycle of a night, the deep sleep, God waits for it. He doesn't mess with it when the brain is repairing the body. He only shows up in that moment of deep sleep. And again, I think about, you know, my own life, and I think about the dreams that I've had, and I'll share some of these dreams. Some of them I will not, because they are terrifying, but I will not talk about those dreams. I'll talk about some other dreams that I've had. And I think on a Wednesday night I shared one of the dreams that I had before we had church. And interesting. Then he goes on to say, while they slumber in their beds. And that means an altered, the word slumber there means an altered state of awareness. So what is a dream? I'm going to give you my definition of a dream. A God dream is a God dream, when it comes from God, is a supernatural state by which God actively communicates to us through the use of images, feelings, or thoughts in order to invoke a response on our part. My call into the ministry, that Wednesday when I woke up screaming, I looked at my wife and I said, I have to go to the altar Sunday morning and surrender to the ministry. God not only spoke, I am absolutely 110% clear that God's calling into what I am doing right now was based on a dream that he gave me. And I followed that and got up, and God wants us to look at these dreams and to make a response to it. Now, the reason that God may speak, then he opens the ears of men. Gwala, the word opens there, to reveal something. So part of the dream reason is that God wants to reveal something to us. There's many ways that God speaks. And some of the ones that are up front are more recognizable to us. God speaks through the Bible, right? I mean, you can read the Bible and you can hear the voice of God, and he speaks to us. Another way is that God speaks through prayer. Many times you'll be praying about something and all of a sudden God will reveal something to you. We don't have a problem with these. Other people sometimes. Somebody will say something and you'll go, wow, okay, maybe that is applying to my situation, and maybe God used that individual to speak to me. Another way is that God speaks through the church, through the collective body of the church. Maybe on a decision the church has to make, and the congregation votes, and God speaks through the church. What about dreams? It's often overlooked, but I think maybe by shedding some light on this or throwing light on it, and again, I want to caution you. It doesn't mean that every dream is from God, and it doesn't mean... Or does it mean that you can dismiss the dream? And I'm getting ready to give you some examples of what I mean by this, because this next section of the sermon will deal with how to apply it. And terrifies them with warnings. That is a horrible translation. The English Standard Version did not do a good job here, at least in my understanding. It's the word terrifies is hatam. The root of that word means to seal. The root of it means to seal. If you drill down a little bit, it means putting seal upon discipline. In fact, the New American Standard Bible says it this way, and seals their instruction. That's probably a closer interpretation of what that means. The warnings, when you think of terrifies warnings, You're thinking of dreams that are terrifying, where you can't stop something and something is happening to you. But that word is musar, and that word refers to discipline. I think what the scripture's driving at here is that it's not so much to terrify, but it is in the sense of sealing a discipline to us. We could say it like this: God seals a discipline. And when you talk about sealing, you're talking about making an impact on the person. Do your dreams make an impact on you when you first wake up out of REM sleep? What's your first thought? One day, a couple of weeks ago, I got up and went to the door and did my windows like this and looked out, and I said, it was just a dream, because it was so real. Is it possible that God, through dreams, he cannot seem to get through to us in our waking hours, that God says, okay, I will show up in your deep sleep hours and I will speak to you? My answer is yes. My answer is yes. And we're going to look at some other things next week and the week after connected to dreams. But why would God maybe speak in dreams to us? To change our behavior. To change our behavior. That he may turn man aside from his deed. The word aside is not in the Hebrew. It was added by the translators to smooth out the translation. And the word turn means to change one's path. So if I could give you an image here, you are forced with the decision, and you've been walking in this direction, but God wants you to go in this direction. The dream is to turn you to walk down a different path, to go down a different road. And I am left with the conclusion that you're to go down God's road. God uses dreams and can use dreams to move us in a different direction. The words deeds here, that he may turn or move you in a different direction from the deeds that you are doing. And the word deeds there is mase, mase. Wrongdoing or a particular pattern of behavior. You catch that? That he may make you go down a path that you are not currently going down based on your activity. 1 John 3:4. Everyone who makes the practice of sinning also practices lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. So in our lives, when we are doing something that is wrong, that may very well surface in our dreams. Let me give you an example. Let's say you're having trouble with stealing or cheating. God may give you a dream in which somebody has stole from you and wants you to focus, for example, focus on how that felt. And thereby, if you think about it and you go, well, maybe God wants me to stop stealing, that would be a biblical way to interpret that dream, because we know that God wants us to go in another direction. Now, I don't know about your life, but whatever's going on, I bet you when you dream, I bet you some of those dreams could very well be God speaking to you to change a pattern or behavior in your life and to go in another direction. And then I get it. There's dreams that make absolutely no sense. I've had those before too. But then there are dreams when I know God has spoken to me about something. I don't want you to go home, and I don't want you to, you know, Lord, give me dreams, you know. I don't want you to do that. I mean, that kind of happens on its own. I think it's right to pray, Lord, help me. And I did read one article from a pastor that talked about how to end terrifying dreams in your life, and it all dealt with turning to God and asking him to control the REM sleep. That's good. I like that. At least that pastor realizes that sometimes dreams come from Satan too, and can for a purpose of scaring us. I hope this has been being helpful. Maybe I've even added more questions. I don't know. But, and not only to help us go down a different path in our attitudes, behavior, and action, but to conceal pride from man. This word conceal is very hard to translate. It's kisa. And it can mean to separate somebody from something. In this case, pride. Separate the person from pride. But it can also mean to blot out pride. So without any real definite conclusion on that word, I'm left with those two definitions, which both could be right. One is to remove the individual from pride, or to blot pride out from their life altogether. Again, it's too close to call. The word pride is gava, which is the word for haughtiness. So, if we use an example in a dream, let's say that in waking hours, you're a very prideful person. You are somebody that is always right. You are haughty. You are better than everybody else. You look down at people. God may very well send a dream to you in which you are embarrassed, in which you are humbled, in which you are a laughing stock. And you might, in the past, maybe have dismissed the dream as just a random dream. But when a person is spiritually attuned to God, they realize maybe God's telling me I need to be humble. Maybe God's trying to change my direction and my path through the dream. Roy Zuck says such dreams, whether a warning, instructional, or disciplinary in nature, are designed to turn people from wrongdoing or pride. So people that get into all these different interpretations, I think God can help you interpret it on your own. And I would say this as your pastor: when you dream something, and it just bothers you, and you think about it, like when you first wake up and you think about it through the day, you know what God's doing? He's sealing a discipline. If you can't shake it, it's a sealing. So you take that dream and you go, "What in my life?" This is one way, best way to interpret a dream, is what is going on in my life that might be something that God is speaking to me about. In one of the dreams that I had recently, and I shared this on a Wednesday night, it was kind of wasn't funny at the time, but I remember looking up, and I was looking at a refrigerator, and there was a spider on the refrigerator. And I looked at that spider, and immediately within me, I was like, this spider's evil. And so I walked around this way, and the spider came across to the front and just stood there. And I said to somebody, I said, look at that spider. It just keeps following me. And I come around over to here, and the spider comes around on the refrigerator. And I got the sense that the spider was getting ready to pounce on me. And I woke up. Now, this is rather funny in a way. On a Wednesday night, I was teaching. Do you remember this? Yeah. On a Wednesday night, I was teaching. You girls know it because we talked about it. And I was doing my thing up here on a Wednesday night teaching it. Right down here was a spider. You remember that? Yeah. Right underneath my stool. And I think Brian Boer was the one that said, hey, look at that. There's a spider right under you. And I just shared with you about that dream. So what I draw from that conclusion is that God wanted me to be careful in my teaching. When it was there. Not every dream is from God. But God does use dreams to change our behavior, our attitude, or even to discipline us, or to even warn us about an action. So, the result, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this one, but the result, he keeps back his soul from the pit, his life from perishing by the sword. The word keep back means to move somebody to a favorable circumstance so that they're not in trouble, which would make sense. If you continue down a particular path in your own personal life, you could very well wind up into trouble. And even here, in the sense of if you continue to do that behavior, it could possibly even lead to death. Right? That if you continue doing this event, it could possibly lead to death. And this is the driving point here, is that God uses, at least from Elihu, is that you can use the dream to lead you in a different direction that might possibly cause you harm down the road in the case of pride. It can lead you to a point where you get into trouble. So, let me close by making some observations, some concluding thoughts about a base understanding for dreams. And actually, I think this is a very good text for understanding the basic parameters of dreams. I think that's why it's in there. Number one, not all dreams are from God. Please know that. Not all dreams are from God. Sometimes you're just emotional about something and that emotion plays out in a dream, but sometimes they are. And God may use dreams to get our attention. He may use dreams to get our attention. Number three, dreams may cause us to change our behavior, and that is always good. That is always good. Number four, wise people will listen and respond. And again, this series is not about interpreting dreams. This series is about showing you the various dynamics of dreaming. And you say, well, why do I need to know this? Well, I think if you can at least acknowledge that it's possible that God can speak to me through dreams, then it is possible, if God is speaking to me in dreams, then it is possible that God does want to change something in my life. And if he wants me to change something in my life, then I need to realize that this could be a warning from God. What I don't want you to do is to wake up and every crazy dream is a dream from God. That's between you and God. But I'm telling you as your pastor that I dream a lot. Some of my dreams seem extremely real, but scientific community helps me understand that the brain is mimicking daylight living even though you're having a dream. That's why the dreams seem so real. So, while every dream is not from God, some are, and I would encourage you to maybe even start making notes on some of the dreams and apply it to your own life. Is it possible God is trying to change something in my life to go in a different direction?